We're considering about the headship and taking a look at in our relationships, where the headship of Christ is manifested in our relationships. We're taking a look at being a wife, and we've taken a look at different kinds of relationships and kind of saved this one more towards the end. A lot of times it seems that the ladies are picked on and such as that, and that's not the case. We all have a place that the Lord's made for us. And as we've taken a look and considered in the Scriptures, that place that the Lord's made for each and every one of us is the place of blessing. It's the place of greatest blessing that we can obtain and that we can achieve. And there's not a situation with the Lord. Ultimately, when we are there in His kingdom, we're going to be there as children, all of us as sons, the Scripture tells us. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, our theme verse for this consideration and study is verse number 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Last time in consideration about the relationship between a husband and wife and being a wife, we took a look again about a marriage and considerations about divorce and how it is that the Lord ordained that marriage is to be one man, one woman, and that's to be until death. What the Lord has put together, man's not to put asunder for any reason. Of course, man changes things, and it's not right. It's sin and wickedness before the Lord. But the Lord, I believe, we get from the Scriptures, wherever you find yourself, from there on, serve the Lord. But you that are here and not married and maybe looking forward to marriage in the future, make sure that you consider and seek the Lord's face about your mate, your spouse, and that you find one that the Lord would have for you and that you will stay married to until you die or until they die. It's just the way that it should be. We took a look in the book of Ephesians, where we're studying and what brought us to this whole consideration of headship, and took a look about these commands, what the Scripture says about instruction to wives regarding their relationship to their husband, just like we did in every other relationship, or we strive to do so. In this afternoon, we want to take a look at the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, the church at Colossae that the brother is writing to. We took a look at Ephesus there, which is, of course, in Asia Minor, and Colossae is, and we'll have to do a refresher here because I've just drawn a blank about where it's at. Let me find that. Embarrassing moments of forgetfulness, drive it in until you can't find it. I'm seeing all of them but Colossae. Oh, okay, yeah. It's there. It's also in Asia Minor, okay? I was trying to put it up on the coast with Philippi. And so, yeah, so Colossae, we took a look at the church there at Ephesus, and then also this church in Colossae. In chapter 3, the Scripture says here, again, we're looking for instruction to wives regarding their marriage, regarding their relationship to their husbands. And all these relationships that we've taken a look at, there's always, we see two parties involved. Okay, we as the children of God have our instruction from the Lord, and so we honor our Lord, we show that we love our Lord by obeying Him, and then in the case of the wife, she is to submit, and she has some things regarding her husband, and so because of what the Lord says, that affects and that should affect and should have a place in her relationship to her husband, okay? And so it's the way it is with husbands, the way it is with children, the way it is with government, the church, and all these relationships that we've taken a look at. There's two parties that are involved in it all. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 18, Scripture says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." We talked about that last time, that a wife is to submit to her own husband. This submission is not to be to every husband, but it's to be to her husband, okay? To her own husband, as is fit in the Lord. And so not as much is told here in Colossians as it is in Ephesians. And in Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit to yourselves and to your own husbands as unto the Lord." And so we have more clarification there. But it is there. Husbands, it says in verse 19 here, as we've seen, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In Titus chapter 2, let's take a look over here and see what is said here in chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, it gives some instruction to all of us here. And we're going to read this from verse number 1 and get down here towards verse number 8 or so. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine," as the apostle writes to Titus, there to be at Crete and to work amongst those people that are there. He says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, that they be steadfast in and on the Word of God. Nothing worse than to see a man with gray hair and for him to not be where he, in spiritual maturity, to not be where he should be. It's bad. Tell you something just as an aside. I hate to see any man with a ponytail, but I sure hate to see a gray-haired man with a ponytail. And I sure hate even worse than that. I know hate's a strong word, but I abhor seeing a man with gray hair and bald have a ponytail. That's even worse, isn't it? All right? And you may the Lord help in that. They need to grow up. The aged men need to be sober, need to be grave, temperate, sound in faith and in charity and love and in patience. Need to be one that you can go to and get some good godly wisdom from. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. It'd do the men well to abide by that too, wouldn't it? We need to be found in holiness, so do they. We all need to be. That they would teach the young women, it says here, okay, that these aged women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Okay, so it has to be taught. How do we teach the best? We teach by example. Okay, in the passage over there in Ephesians 5, where the scripture says that the wife see that she reverence her husband, that she needs to be in awe of him, to fear him, to have a desire towards him. He needs to be behaving and operating in a way and pursuing after God that makes it and causes it to where she'll be able to do so. And we need to love our wives, and wives, you need to love your husband. Love your own husband, too. And it's something that the aged women need to be able to teach. Let me teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. We live in a day where, I guess it's always been this way in different nations and amongst different tribes and peoples and that. But don't we see in a lot of cases where women just do not love their children? The scourge of abortion that's upon us. Terrible. And what I hear tell of that couples would resort to cause the woman to not carry the child to full term. It's just wickedness. Yeah. It's just terrible and wicked before God. And the young women need to be taught these things. Why are they to be taught so? So they would do so. Wives, you need to love your husbands and to love your children. It also says that they need to be taught and should be taught to be discreet. And what that means is self-controlled. I know of a brother that says that he's called to preach, and because of the attitude and way of his wife, he's just not qualified. He's not going to be qualified if things continue on the way they are. And I hate that for him. But from this vantage point looking on, or the brother, he didn't take inventory and didn't take a look at the checklist and the Word of God and pursue with the Word of God about who he should have married. They got some things started upside down. And once you start upside down, it's hard, very hard, if not impossible, to get it right side up. I know I'm just kind of speaking there in code, but it's just that way. It's sad. He needed to look for a woman that we would be discreet, that would be self-controlled. To be chaste to be clean, to be innocent, to be modest. A wife belongs to her husband. We saw that in Corinthians. Her body belongs to her husband. Our bodies, men, that we that are married, our bodies belong to our wives. And they don't belong to anybody else. And so we don't need to be involving them with anybody else. We don't need to be involving the mind with anybody else from the standpoint of the way we would with our wives. Though the wife doesn't need to be, we don't need to be showing our bodies, our nakedness to others. We don't need to be doing, because that belongs to the husband. And so we gotta take a look at that, consider that, and evaluate that. The Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lord Jesus Christ going to take His bride and take her and reveal her, the intimate parts of that relationship, reveal that to others? No way, no how. Not going to do it. The Lord's not going to do that. She is His chaste virgin, as the Scripture says. She belongs to Him, and He loves her and guards her and protects her. And so, and that's the way it needs to be with wives. They need to be discreet, need to be chaste. And the older ones need to be in a shape that they can teach the younger ones that thing. Don't give up things that are there for marriage and reserved for marriage. Don't give up those things of the body to others. They don't belong to others. They belong to the husband. Okay? And it's that way. And likewise, the husband to the wife. Keepers at home to take care of the place where they live. That's what that says. One has said, so well, I don't like that term housewife. And I can understand that. I'm not married to the house. That's true. Not married to the house, but it is of the Lord that place where the family lives be taken care of by the wife. And now, when your wife delivers one of your children, has a C-section or whatever, or goes through different things, has illness or whatever, or it's reflected in the things of life and the trials of life that come along, that indeed she is that weaker vessel. See, we don't want our wives to be like us, right? I don't want my wife to be all muscle-bound and strong like I am. All right, we don't want it that way. They are the weaker vessel. They are equipped to do some things that the whole childbirth thing, I don't want to even go there, okay? But the Lord's made it that way, and there's a reason. We've seen about how that is. That's what the Lord has placed upon the woman and how she is preserved and how she continues. That increase, that multiplying of conception and the caring of children and the bearing of children and that, it's of the Lord, and it's that way. But they are equipped the way they are. They're made and built and are built inside and outside to be able to be a complement to the man. And we don't want them to be like us. So if it comes a time that they need help, we don't need to be, brethren, of an attitude, well, woman, suck it up and get it on in there. No, we don't need to have that attitude. Because the thing is if we abuse her, we're abusing ourselves. Amen? And so we need to be sensitive to that. Now, a wife doesn't need to sit around all day eating bonbons and crackers and drinking Cokes, does she? Right? Yeah, so there's a pursuit. How is it that we do what we do? What's always the gauge, brethren, sisters? What is always the gauge? If you're going to be a wife, be a wife like you would be unto the Lord. Amen? There's the gauge. Brethren, if we're going to be a husband, we're going to be a husband, and you understand this, so the Lord is the Lord's our great God and King. We need to be a husband. All that we do, do it as unto the Lord. Do we want the sanction of the Lord in being a husband, being a wife, being a father, being a mother? Don't we want the sanction and blessing of the Lord? Indeed, we should. We should. If we think that the Lord doesn't give a lick about this, then, you know, we're messed up in the mind. He does care about this. Who ordained the family? It's the Lord. It's His idea. It wasn't our idea. It was His idea, and it was a blessed, blessed thing. The teaching of the older women to the younger women, to the younger wives and mothers, to be discreet, to be chaste, clean, innocent, modest, to be keepers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands. Whoa, boy, that one would get you in trouble today. In Ephesians 22 or 24, we read, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Yeah, that's what it says, and that's the way it's to be. That doesn't mean to be dictatorial or to be run roughshod over your family. That's not what that's talking about. Does the Lord do that? Does the Lord ride roughshod over His church? No. And I tell you what, brethren, we got to always remember that what we say goes. We better make sure it goes with the Lord. You know, it's not just about being king of the hill, but it's a responsibility. I've told you before, I think that's part of what it is. And Adam, hearkening to Eve and taking up the way he thought it ought to be, brethren, because our federal head Adam did what he did, we've got it on us, and we'll give an answer for our lives and our families. We'll give an answer for it. May the Lord help us in that, in the physical aspects of family and in the spiritual aspects of family too. Obedient to their own husbands, yes. I gave you the example about my mother-in-law and how it was, how the salesman tried to shame her because she said, I need to talk to my husband about that. Well, don't you make any decisions yourself? It's not even the issue. Not even the issue. The issue is that they do things together, and he's the head of the house, and those kind of decisions that decision would have been, she needed to talk to her husband about it. And they decide, and she'd have her input and what her desire is, and then he would decide what would be. Amen. We love our wives. We want good things for them. We want to please them. But we need to understand the order that the Lord has. And look here what it says here. Understand this. We all need to understand this. What it says there in the latter part of verse 5. That if the young women and women, and this applies for the men too, but in the context of the passage here, if they do not love their husbands, if they do not love their children, if they are not discreet, if they are not chaste, if they are not keepers at home, if they are not good, if they are not obedient to their own husbands, and brethren, it applies in every way that we're commanded of the Lord to obey too. What to say? Those things ought to be that the Word of God be not blasphemed, but if they are not, the Word of God is being blasphemed through us, through you. Well, Word of God don't mean nothing. They live just like the rest of us do. They talk about serving God. Look at them. They do the same stuff we do. They behave the same way we do. They go the same places we go. They dress the same way we dress. They talk the same way we talk. They go down there on Sunday morning and think that makes them okay. You've heard the whole thing, hadn't you?
Right.
We don't need to be as the children of God. May God help us that we not be the genesis for the Word of God, the focal point of somebody, of our neighbors, our family, or those we work with, to be the reason that they back off of the Word of God. We need to be a testimony unto it.
Amen.
That it's good. That the Lord saved my soul, and I want to live holy for the Lord. I want to talk right. I want to act right, but I want to behave right, not put on the farce, right? I want to cover up my nakedness. I want to be a good witness. I want to be filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I want to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I want to serve the Lord as He's shown me in His Word and given me opportunity to do. I want to obey Him in it. So when folks look at Jim Duke, perchance maybe they'll see Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's the way it is with wives. As wives, if there's no difference that is seen, then how is the witness that is there? Goes on to say that the young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. We need to be doing that. We need to be teaching these young men amongst us to, in the time of their maturity, in the time of their age, that we show them how things really are. That we show them and tell them and instruct them what their responsibility before the Lord is. What their responsibility in having a family. If you pursue the things of having a family, you better be man enough to fulfill it. Amen?
Right.
That's right. Otherwise, don't even go there. Don't even go there as an example. to work. That's what a man's got in front of him. It's not that a woman doesn't have work. Her work is of a different sort. But a man has got before him work one way or another. It's just that way. It's just that way it's going to be. It's ordained of the Lord. And that way, and a woman has work before her too, and yet it is of a different sort, and namely, there in the home. It goes on in verse number 7. It says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that it cannot be condemned." When our speech, ladies, when your speech is taken out and laid out and examined, you know, they Clarissa and I, we heard about this years ago, and we did it a few times, and boy, it can wake you up. But you want to find out what's going on in your house, and everybody gets home in the afternoon, dad gets home from work, and kids at home and done with schoolwork or whatever, take and turn on a recorder and listen to what goes on in the house that evening. And then so after you record it for a while, then sit back down together and listen to it. Whoa. Would our speech, would it be considered good? Would our speech be condemned before the Lord? May the Lord help us in that. We need to have sound speech that can't be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's what the goal of our witness and testimony is to be. This is another definition for being blameless. That's what that's talking about, is being blameless. We can be accused of anything and everything by everybody. Okay? That's not what blameless is talking about. But do we not be guilty of where the world is say, "Look at that. They operate just like we do, and they think they're something." May the Lord help us in that. May the Lord help us in that. So ladies, discretion, chastity, keepers at home, good, loving of husbands, and obedient to your husbands for the sake of the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's take a look over here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." I think that lifting up of the holy hands is talking about, when you really want something. I think Brother Doug and I were talking about this here not too long ago. When you want something of somebody, what do we do? We generally also express it with our hands. I mean, if we need help, we implore with our hands. We speak with our hands. Some of us more than others. But I think that's what it's talking about, is as we pray to the Lord, as we pray and petition the Lord. I mean, you get something that's on your heart. You get something that's grievous. You get something that's a blessing. You get something that just really gets beside you and touches you. And you there in the say in the privacy in your prayer closet before the Lord, I bet you use your hands. Yeah, and that's what that's talking about. It's not talking about this. It's not talking about this charismatic thing of waving the hand and that. But it's talking about imploring the Lord. I mean, I find myself, and I'm not that I'm an example, but I find myself. We have our public prayer with our eyes closed. But I find myself, when I'm praying to the Lord and it's a serious matter, it's the salvation of souls, it's a thing that we've had going on in the church and we need the Lord's help with, I'll implore the Lord with my hands. I mean, I would do that if I asked you for help in a serious situation. And I do the same thing with the Lord. It's never seen, okay? But I think that's what it is, a petitioning of the Lord. It goes on here, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel." What is the definition of modest apparel? Covering up your nakedness. covering up your nakedness. And we're going to take in this consideration, in this study, we're going to have a message or two about why. Why is there? We saw the instruction to husbands concerning wives. That's direct instruction. There's a lot in the Scripture, of course, that we can gain by example. That's instruction to husbands. But as far as direct instruction to wives, there's more. I'll let you look at my page of notes. It's even more. And there's a reason for that, okay? Does God hate women? No. The Apostle Paul hate women? No. Do we hate women? No. No. We love women. We love our mothers, we love our daughters, our wives, we love our daughters, we love our sisters in Christ as we should in a right, good way. It's not about being down on women, but there's a power and ability that women have in regards to men, and the Lord knows that. And that's the reason this instruction comes across. It's that way, and we'll take a look at it. I think you know about it now. But what is modest apparel? It's the covering up of nakedness, because the nakedness of a woman will affect a man. Bottom line, it's just the truth. It's the way that it is. And so, ladies, we need your help in covering up your nakedness from anywhere, wherever it is. We need your help in that. And this is an issue that just gets down to honesty of the old mind and the old flesh in that. Sister and I were talking about it this morning at the end of services. It's just we have things that come into our minds before we even think about it, and we can't help it. It's no justification for dwelling on it, okay? But we are what we are. And if we get off and talking about these kind of issues, me say, so, well, you, Brother Duke, you just got a dirty mind. I've been accused of that since I've been here. No, I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. It's that way. And so this instruction comes to you, ladies, for the sake of helping your brethren. Keeping that which is a wife should keep herself for her husband, and the covering up of nakedness with modest apparel helps brothers in Christ as well as others in the world. Okay? That's the way it is. And we'll take a look about why. Okay? But we're taking a look at the what right now. Okay? That the women adore themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. As I mentioned to you earlier about Jesus and what it said there in Ephesians chapter 5, that he might take his wife, his bride, and present her to himself. He's going to look to present his bride to himself. He doesn't present his bride to others, nor brethren should we. Okay? There's an attitude, and a good brother that was saved years ago, he was honest about it. He was frank and honest about it. He said the reason, before the Lord saved him and his wife, the reason that they would go down to the lake, he says, we went down to the lake, and I went down there to parade my wife in front of everybody else. He was just being honest. And so he went down there and his wife paraded before others. He presented her to others in a sense. And then he was able to look at other men's wives too. That's what he said. But after the Lord saved him, he says, no, my wife's mine. I'm not taking her down there and presenting her to anybody else. She's mine. And the things of her body belong to me. They don't belong to others. Is the Lord going to present his bride to somebody else? No, sir, he's not. He's reserving her for him. Okay? And so that's the way it is. A modest apparel, shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair. Here, and it's talking about a great adornment of the body, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man. And that's talking about not only in the home, but also in the operation of the church too. Ladies, you that are wives, you're to submit to your own husbands in that marriage. There is a submission to the leadership that is here in the church, myself as pastor and the other brethren here, but you are accountable to your husband, not to me. Okay? As from the standpoint of a member and what I might be used of the Lord to help you or edify you or even correct you or rebuke you or that, that way may well be, but more than likely your husband's going to be involved with it because you're there together as that unit, and that's the way that it should be. Okay? And so, but there is a submission there to the leadership of men, and that's what that's talking, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Okay, goes on here to say, for Adam was first formed and then Eve. There's an order. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. She was deceived, but she was part of it. Adam was not deceived. He willfully hearkened to his wife. That's part of what I was talking about earlier about what we've been given, men. It seems that there's a sense there that the Lord says, okay, big boy, you want it, you got it. Because now the ground won't cooperate one bit. Because the man's going to have to go out there. That's the context of the scripture there in Genesis. Going to have to go out and work, and nothing's going to cooperate of this earth with the man going out there to provide for his family because of sin. But it's on his back to provide. And praise God, the Lord saved us, and we've got somebody that can help us, amen? And we can petition the Lord for it, right? But then he's going to be responsible for his wife. If she gets out of the way, to some extent, he's responsible for that. And then the children come along, he's responsible for that. Okay? And so it goes on to say here, in verse 14, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." There's an order. "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity," or love, "and holiness with sobriety." Ladies, it was the Lord that chose for you to be born and created a female. Enjoy that. That's what the Lord's done for you. Don't strive against God about it, but enjoy it. And find the place of blessing. And find the place of blessing and the pursuit of the Lord's way and the Lord's blessing that He has established. It'll be the best place of blessing for you. Brethren, we that have been created men, we have the same thing. That we should pursue what the Lord's given and fill that according to the word of the Lord. But then when we all get on the other side, we might be surprised who's got greater blessings than others. Why? Because of obeying the Lord where he is at. I remind you, the wife, the woman, can have the blessing of a prophet just by some cold iced tea. Amen? Right? So the point is not about big I's and little U's, but about obedience and submission and serving and pursuing what the Lord has given. In this passage, one more thing that I'll say and we'll close. In this passage here in 1 Timothy 2 that we've read, in those last two verses that are said there, there's no form of the word wife that is mentioned here, but childbearing is mentioned, okay? And so that's the reason that I believe that we can bring this in. Childbearing is where is it supposed to happen? Who's supposed to bear children? Amen. Wives, right? Wives that become mamas. Amen. Not mamas that become wives. Right? Wives that become mamas. That seems pretty academic, but may the Lord help us. We need to review those kind of things too. So we've got some more things here, and we'll look at those next time. If you're here and you're not saved, I tell you what, there's no better way but the Lord's way. It's a narrow way, but it's a right good way, and it's based and founded upon Him. Mm-mm-mm. It's straight. It leads to life. And it's in Jesus Christ. And you know, in everything that the Lord tells us, it's all good for us and is all a blessing for us. Praise be to God for it. The broad way, you know, you can do anything you want to on the broad way. You can lay down, take a nap on the broad way, roll around, wallow around. spend your life the way you want to, use up the blessings, that common grace of God, and living upon this earth and having health. You can take that and spend it any way you want to. You know what that broad way leads to? It leads to destruction. It leads to hell. And so we point you to the narrow way, which is Christ. Amen. Nothing but blessings with Him.
That's right.
We as His children, may the Lord help us that we would walk on that narrow way. You know how we walk on that narrow way? We walk on that narrow way like this. It's hard for me to straighten out and go straight. I go like this. But praise be to God, we're going that way, aren't we? And He's long-suffering. He brings us along. He forgives us. He helps us. He teaches us. He causes us to grow. And He tries our faith, and He increases our faith and our patience. And one day we're going to be with Him. At the end of that narrow way, it's going to be good, isn't it?